Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
For tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, please write Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, ZIP 71903. This is February 26th, 2000. This is the Ladies' Conference, the Saturday evening service. Ruth Wilson from Akron, Ohio is the speaker.
For putting everything off into the future. I don't know whether you did this. As far as the things of the Lord were concerned, I'd always think, well, someday, you know, someday, someday. Well, someday is now. So now is the time to believe Him for all that He has done for and through us in the Lord Jesus. We have to quit putting it off, because the only time we can live is in the now. And it's the time is the now is where the eternal, the heavenlies and the earthly meet. It's only as we accept the fact that in every moment we are abiding in Him and He is us. So this about the anointing on the head, when you study the garments of the priest, he had it's not like the presentation of the Roman Catholic Pope today or the mitre. It was more of a bonnet type of thing. And but superimposed on the bonnet, there was a gold, on the head anyhow. It was tied with blue ribbons. And on this gold, it said, Holy unto the Lord. So it's bringing our mind into holiness and being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Amen. As that we might know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. But as I've always felt this was so precious, because that the garments were so beautiful they made for the high priest. And yet the blood in the anointing is more beautiful, because they covered those beautiful garments with the blood and the oil of the anointing. And it went all the way down. Thank you. It went all the way down to the skirt of the garments. And so the body is going to be enclosed with the same anointing. And that's something that I feel so strongly, that we should accept for today and for this hour. And this isn't going the way I had thought, but praise God, it's going the way the Lord wants. But I want to go then quickly to Luke 4. It's also, of course, in Isaiah 60. But it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I was listening to Kenneth Copeland teaching the other day, and he said the Lord, that He had always enumerated them, like preaching the gospel to the poor, number one, and He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, number two. But he said the Lord stopped him right in the middle of it, and he said, no, let me read it to you. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And it was like outlining that. Then underneath that came the others. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance. And you'll notice back in Isaiah 60 that he stopped in his teaching and preaching of this. It's 61, really. The Spirit of God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he stopped. Our Lord Jesus stopped right there. Because in the middle of a sentence, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. But I've started to see an altogether different idea of the day of the Lord and the vengeance of judgment. To me now, judgment is making all things that are wrong right. It's such a positive thing from the negative I'd always seen of the pointing of the finger and, you know, you better watch out, this and that. It's, again, the love of God to make everything that's wrong right. And it just it makes it so much more believable of the love of God that we know, of He who is love, than the old concept of the negative. But in this is, we spoke briefly this morning and said, you know, not everybody's going to jump for joy when the time of the anointing comes. They're going to say, as we said this morning, who do you think you are? Well, we know who we are in Christ Jesus. But He has quickened us to this reality. And I started to share with you, and as I prayed this morning as we left, that the Lord, in His grace and mercy, will let what I have to share come through as life and love and joy and not condemnation. And I told you that I had this experience. I can tell you to the day and the hour, it was profound. I had been traveling, and I think maybe many of you know that when you're flying, they now say it is dangerous to get blood clots. I had been flying, and then I had been traveling for 2 weeks, primarily in a car. Then I came back to Ohio, and I was in a car again, and I got home on August the 10th at 8 o'clock at night. And I felt somebody pinched me on my leg, if you can believe. I actually looked. I expected to see a bruise mark. And I had a blood clot. Well, when I went to check, it, they said, was a massive blood clot. And they put me in the hospital immediately. And I had been visiting with some friends with Dan. And they said I had turned as white as a sheet that night. I know I wasn't feeling very well, and I know I wasn't able to breathe very well. By the time I got to the hospital, it had broke off a part of it and was in my lungs. And, of course, when they discovered that, immediately put me in a wheelchair, took me to the emergency room. And this is a precious part. We did not, Speed and I did not have a doctor. And they couldn't figure this out here. I was 76 years old and didn't have a doctor. And I wasn't taking any medication, and they couldn't figure this out. You mean you're not taking a drug? You're not taking any medication? And I said, no. Well, people would come in and look at me. But anyway, we know who our physician is. And I want to say it was all His grace and His mercy. But I want to tell you, I went into the hospital then, was there 6 days, and they gave me heparin and then Coumadin and that, you know, the regular thing. But and the whole time, I told you I had prayed, Speed and I had prayed together, that what Satan meant for evil, God would turn to for good. Well, praise the Lord, He did. So I kept expecting the whole time I was praying in the hospital, expecting to hear something, you know, anxious, anxious, anxious. Got home, and I could spend very little time up. I had to keep my leg up a great deal. And afterwards, the first scripture He gave me then when He started showing me was in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11, about not discerning the body, that many are sick in sleep because they don't discern the body. And I was, of course, actually wondering exactly what He meant for this for me. But Paul says on 11:23, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat. This is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. And after the same manner also He took the cup, when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let him examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that drinketh, eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And then wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And he showed me that he had quickened me for many years to be much more sensitive about what I ate and what I did not eat and what type of exercise to take. And that was the primary thing for my physical. And then, of course, he started teaching me the spiritual aspects. But I realized that I had postponed. He showed me things to do, and I agreed with it. Yes, that was the thing to do, but I didn't do it. You know that scripture in James, Lord, let me quickly retrieve it, about deceiving your own self. If you're a hearer, not a doer of the world, you deceive your own self. Well, I had prayed for the spirit of discernment some while before that, several years, and the first thing he showed me was that scripture, that I had much understanding, and that because I had the understanding, I was deceived thinking I was walking in it. And he said that this happens to many of his children. Because we know it in our intellect and give mental assent to it, we think we're walking in it. And it points out you are very deceived. So I was very deceived in the aspect of I had read nutrition books and so forth, and I knew these things, but I still wasn't doing them. But I do want to say that we have for years been involved with a company that makes products that are non-carcinogenic in all the aspects of shampoos. And I think Speed may have mentioned this to some of you when he's been here. And nothing in their products are detrimental. So we had been on these products for years, too. So this would, I want to say that because I believe this was one reason we had been faithful in that. But he showed me that I had not been responsible. And since that time, I've asked to have responsibility, have the ability to respond to that which I know that he has shown me. That it took the negative out of responsibility and made it a positive word to me. He's been doing that by his grace for me. Things that I had seen as negative, he is starting to turn them around as a very positive thing. Then it was so grievous to me when I realized, too, that when he shed his blood and his body for us, it was a covenant that he made with us. Indeed, it's the basis of the so-called New Testament. Actually, he came to fulfill everything of the Old Testament as we know in him. Everything was fulfilled through and in him. But I realized that I had taken the Lord's Supper much too lightly. And that I did not properly esteem his body, what he had done for us, and giving his all. As you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, it wasn't easy for him. He sweat great drops of blood. And he said, if this cup can pass from me, but nevertheless, thy will be done. And he said, it is finished. So he did a finished work. That we are to receive his finished work. And I started to see that. And, you know, you could say, well, didn't she understand that? Yes, I did in my head. But I didn't have it down in my spirit, man, where it became a knowing. A revelation, understanding, and knowledge of how much he had given for us. And that's why I've said to you now, the blood of Jesus, you can imagine the difference it sounds to me. The life is in the blood. And my blood was fouled up. And I realized, because the life is in the blood and my blood was fouled up, there was something definitely wrong with the way I was living. Although I had felt that I had dedicated my life to him, and I had, as much as I knew how. But you know, you can do that by degrees too. You can't do it until he shows where you haven't done it. And when he shows you that, yes, but you've been hanging on to this little bit or that little bit. And we've been bought with a price, his blood. And then it's like in the days of the Greeks and the Romans when they had the slave markets and they bought them. Well, they had a master over them. But was the slave obedient with joyful love to the master? There was the difference. There's the catch. Yes, we're bought with a price. But do we love him with our whole heart, soul, and mind? So that's where he started showing me. I was just really very lacking. Then some of the scriptures today that our dear sister Mildred gave, he started bringing to me. And then he took me back to Romans. Now, how many times have we all read Romans, you know, the famous Roman road? But one morning I was reading this when I couldn't do very much until I'd have to go sit down in Speed's lounge chair and put my legs up. I took it away from him for a while, poor dear. But now we're getting two so we can both have one. But, you know, I can't go through Romans, and we don't need to because all of us know Romans very well indeed. But I was, of course, in 6. I was so blessed in Romans 6, you know, knowing that you're dead with him and alive unto God, and you yield your members and servants of righteousness unto holiness, and that he took our iniquities. I was so blessed with his taking our iniquities because in Matthew, I believe it's Matthew 7, you know, the men said to him, "Well, Lord, haven't we done this in your name and that in your name?" And he said, "Begone from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity." And that scripture always distressed me terribly. And I thought, what is this, Lord? What is the category of iniquity, in other words, you know? But in Romans 6, it tells us that he bore our iniquities. Oh, I was rejoicing when I saw that he bore our iniquities. But you know that in 5:17 it says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Well, you know, I read that for years, quoted it, and then I saw it. You're not going to reign in death anymore. You're going to reign in life. You know, it's just, you just can't believe, as you all had the experience. You read a scripture, and then you read it, and you see it, and you think, how did I not see that? But it was his timing for me. And then when I started reading, I saw life everywhere. You know, we have been so conditioned to death and negativism that all of a sudden, I started seeing life and hope everywhere. And it's all there. He came to give us life and that more abundantly. And it's just everywhere in the scriptures once my eyes were opened to it. But I wanted to get over to Romans 8, where we all are so blessed in Romans 8. But, you know, the last few verses of Romans 7, Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the bottom of this body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Well, when he started showing me in Romans 8, "There is therefore now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." You notice it's always Christ Jesus after the resurrection. Not Jesus the Christ, "who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has overcome the law of sin and death. Therefore, the law of sin and death has no more power today than what we give it." It is over. It's, you know, it's like the airplane with the lift. It overcomes gravity. But that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has overcome the law of sin and death. I saw it. And I start saying, "Oh, Lord, is that really what you're saying?" And there it was. "For," and then it goes on, "what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be filled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit." There it is, that he came to fulfill the law, not to do away with it, but every jot and tittle. He came to fulfill it all, and he did. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither a deed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, and it does. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ, now you've read this all, and I read this all, but one day I heard it. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But, now this is it. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and he does, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And I saw it. There I was with my legs propped up and really couldn't walk or do much without getting tired and having to come back and sit down. And I saw it. And I realized I had never appropriated that verse. As I said last night, it's all there for us. But we have to appropriate every bit of it. We have to receive it. And I don't know about you, but as I said there, I am just learning to receive. I did not know that I was not receiving. I thought because, as I said earlier, I had that mental assent, that was my receiving, but it wasn't. I was double-minded. Half the time I was living from the tree of life, and the other half, maybe three-quarters, I was living from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. By the grace of God, he gave me a revelation, and I saw like a steel knife just come down slicing between the two. And his grace is so merciful, but there it was. Speed was gone. I could hardly wait for him to get home. I was so excited. And he kind of looked at me, you know, and I read it. And I said, don't you hear what I'm saying, you know? There, brethren. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Not only do we quicken, does the Holy Spirit quicken our bodies, but he will also mortify the deeds of the body. And therefore, you know, for years I prayed. I said, Lord, why am I having so much trouble with my body? I said, you know, when the Lord died, his body went in the grave, not just his spirit and his soul. So why the, you know, I could not figure out. Because I prayed, believed, you know, I thought I received. But then I didn't realize that I had not appropriated the work of the Holy Spirit to mortify the deeds of the body, to make the cross experiential in my life. There's a difference between knowing it, you know, by the word, you know, and a difference between having an experiential reality in your life. And that's what I was lacking. And I didn't know how to receive it. And it wasn't until I had this revelation, I said, oh, Lord, that's it. To mortify the deeds of the flesh. You know, I think it's Galatians where he said, be not mocked. God is not mocked. Yeah. Whatever. How does that go? Yeah. You sow to the flesh and Lord, it slipped right from me. But you all know what I'm talking. If you sow to the flesh, you reap of the flesh. If you sow to the Spirit, you reap it. Thank you. Galatians 6. And I was not realizing, because I had mental understanding. You know, I read something, I had a little booklet one time by A.W. Tozier, and he's an older writer. And it was called The Gems of Tozier, as I said, and it had little excerpts from some of his works. And I don't remember except this one. And it said that Satan doesn't care how much you know, instead, until you start to walk in it. And then you become dangerous to him. He could care less. He'll leave you alone until you start to accept and start to walk and appropriate what he has done for us. So there it was. And I saw finally. Now, we've all read Romans, and we've read Romans, and I've read Romans, and I know you have. We all have. But that was my day. I even wrote in the book, October the 9th, 1999, 9 a.m. And do you know, to me, That was so awesome. It was 9 a.m. in the morning that he came down in the mountain. It was 9 a.m. so many times. And there it was 9 a.m. for me. And I felt that I had passed from death into life. And I had. I had passed from death into life. And I could see with my spiritual eyes and hear with my spiritual ears. And it was becoming life to me. This, because God was gracious to me and gave me a hunger for the Word. From the beginning, I ate the Word. I loved the Word. So it was in there. It just needed to come out. But I wanted to go on a little more. Because I'm going to talk about something. I remember when we first came into this walk in the latter part of the 1968. The first place I think I told you this morning was he took me into Tabernacles. And he took me into the book of Ephesians and into the Moses Tabernacle and the Feast of Tabernacles. And I remember going up to someone, and Glenn will remember these days, asking about the manifestation of the sons of God. And he said, "Oh, sister, you don't talk about that. If you talk about that, they'll say you're a heretic." I said, "Well, there it is, right there. What do you do with that? You know, I mean, do we just cut it out or jump over it? Or, you know, there it is." So anyway, that was my answer. "Sister, you don't talk about that." But I do want to be going, before I go on, I think I shared this with you the last time I was here. It was, you'll forgive me, but many times I remember things in relationship to where Speed was or wasn't. But he happened to be in Vietnam when I heard this. I was ironing one day. And you know, sometimes when you're doing something that requires no thought, you're just in a kind of a out of it stage. I don't know what else to express it, but I was ironing, and as I told you, he'd been teaching me about Tabernacles and about the Tabernacle of Moses and the Feast of Tabernacles, and I heard very clearly in my spirit, man, just as, and he gave me the name of a denomination, say, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is of the devil, just shall the charismatics and the Pentecostals say that it's heresy and of the devil's when I start to do my next move. And the next move, when you realize there's Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. So that has to be the next move. Well, now this was back in 1969 or early 70s that I heard this. So it's been a long time. But I can see now what he was meaning after I received this revelation. So really what Satan meant for evil, with my blood clot, he really did turn to good. Now, you see me moving, or maybe you can't, but I'm moving up here because my legs, this morning I was standing still and got very tired. But now I want to go on after telling you that about what I received those years ago. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, when you study the words, they have different, let's see, the word for babe is, as something here, I have it. It's N-E-P-I-O-S. You know, in that Hebrews 5, it says, you are babes when you should be having eaten strong meats. He said, you don't have any knowledge of the principles and doctrines of Christ. He said, you should be teaching others and you're still a babe. So there's different words here. And then there's one where he's called a technon. You're a child. You're a child. But then he goes on to huios. And so there's those different names. So if you're looking up these sons of God or children of God, you know, I heard one because there's been a lot of anti-talk about this. And they said, well, we're all children of God. Yes, we are. But when he's getting here, they are the sons of God. They are led by the Spirit of God. And they're not led half the time by the tree of knowledge and good and evil. They're led by the tree of life, by the Spirit of the living God. In other words, they are the ones that have, if the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, then he shall quicken your mortal body and he shall, you know, give you the strength to walk in the Spirit. And also in this, when he was teaching me and showing me, he was showing me that we have to appropriate this day, every day. It's always now. with God, not only in the day, but in the hour, in the moment. We can only abide in Him and He in us in the moment we're in right this moment. We have to accept it's always the now with the Lord. But there we are, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And back there in Hebrews, you know that, I think it's Hebrews 2, it says that all their lives they were subject, for as much then, Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. So back here when he said, for you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but to ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so he be that we suffer with him that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. There it is. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and we certainly see that, don't we? There is so much in the natural that's happening today that we've seen weather changes all over the world that are just awesome. And you know, the scriptures tell us that every isle shall be moved out of its place. And you know, many of you recognize that Speed has been gifted in teaching in the relationship to scripture with current things that are happening. So we see and hear many things in this area, but it's just that even in that we have such expectancy of the Lord making all things that are wrong right. That's what a judgment means. He's making things wrong right. And as I said earlier, that gave me such a different feeling about judgment. It was his loving hand of judgment and correction, if we could use it, or chastening. Not thou shalt not. He gave me a revelation about that some years ago, many years ago, as a matter of fact. And he said they were promises. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul, mind and might, and thy neighbor as thyself. It wasn't but we be so conformed to the image of Christ that all of those would be fulfilled in us. That we would love him. We would not covet. We would not bear false witness. And I saw them as promises rather than negatives. All things in God are in him, yea and amen, in Christ Jesus, and in love. But what a... It was such a releasing thing to me when I saw that. But then that next verse, 23. But not only they, but we ourselves, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Every time it speaks of redemption, it speaks about the body. And that's why when I was going through so many things this morning, I wanted to give a foundation of where we are in God's time. He does have a time. You know, when I think the thing that always comes back to me, when Pentecost was fully come, he has a time frame. And as I told you, he quickened me the dispensation of the fullness of times, bringing together all in Christ that which is in heaven and earth. So there'd be no, that is, he said, go ye into all the world, you know. And that when he gave the grace commission, because everything in heaven and earth had been given to him. So it's just, it's all so positive. And we are saved by hope, but I don't want to go on any more particularly in that. But I just wanted you to see by his grace, which he gave me to see. And it has completely revolutionized my thought. When I get up in the day, I say, Lord, I receive you fresh this day. And I claim that you are, even this day, quickening my mortal body. That you are putting to death the deeds of the flesh and my mortal flesh. That you are making the cross experiential reality in my life. And then back there in Romans 6, when it says that that he took our iniquities, and that our members of our body are servants of righteousness unto holiness. He's calling us to holiness. He said, you've not walked this way before. Jesus says it was a straight gate and a narrow way, that you haven't walked this way before. And last year, during this time, he gave me that scripture, he will make a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Now, both of those things aren't probable things in the natural, to make a way in a wilderness or streams in a desert, for the very concept of a desert is there's no water. But he said, behold, I do a new thing. Behold, I do a new thing. And he's calling us to accept this. Then he started showing me, as I started to relate to you, how he is the Lord of the body, and the body is for the Lord. Our body, the Lord is for our body to give us the life. But it's to enable us to do that which he's ordained for us to walk in. The good works he's ordained for us to walk in before the foundations of the world. He's given this. He's not doing this just for us to run out and do our own thing, if I can use that terminology, that we did before. Even as he showed me the things I did, even after I knew him, and I didn't recognize how grievous it was to him, because it wasn't fulfilling the fullness of what he had for us. And then he says, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? First he comes in our spirit, but then the spirit quickens our body after that. And we all know that he's been working on our soul man to the restoration of the soul. That it has been, I said this morning that the whole wilderness experience was, the Pentecostal experience is a wilderness experience, really, to bring us back to the salvation of the soul. Many years ago, when we were still living in the Washington, D.C. area, I would get up early in the morning and have a time of quiet. And it was a Saturday morning, and I felt the Lord quicken me to go down to this bookshop and get a book. And I said, well, what book, Lord? And, well, I didn't know what book. So when Speed got up, I said, well, the Lord said to go down there. It was clear around, I don't know if you're familiar with Washington, D.C., but it was clear around the Beltway in Washington. We lived in Maryland. It was down in Virginia. In those days, they didn't have a Christian bookstore as many places they do now. And he said, oh, my, because he drove into the district every day, and so it wasn't really his thought to go down there. But we did. But in there, I said, well, Lord, I'm here. I don't know what I'm supposed to buy. But I said, you'll show me. And so I started walking up and down the aisles, and he did show me. It was a book by Watchman Nee. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Watchman Nee, but it was The Latent, L-A-T-E-N-T, The Latent Power of the Soul. And it is awesome to show you. Well, he gave Adam dominion. He named every beast, and he had all this dominion. So that soul power, just because he fell, he didn't lose it. So that's what the adepts, A-D-E-P-T's of India, and those people of the hypnotists, they want to tap into that soul power. And that's what gives them the power. But the Lord did not say he didn't want us to use it, but under his jurisdiction. He never did say that we couldn't feed from the tree of life. You know, that was not barred to us in the garden. But in Jesus is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So he's trying to restore in and through us, through our Lord and Savior, the fullness of all he wanted us to have in the first place. So I say all that to say, so I took the book home, naturally. And then at that particular time, we were having people were praying, quote, for us. And I read in there a very interesting, significant thing. That it was, an account of some people that had gone to listen to a particular ministry. And they came back and wanted their pastor to receive this new or this ministry or doctrine. And he was not receptive. So they were praying for him. And they were directing his prayer, their prayers to him, not to the Father, so that you could, Father, if he's wrong, correct him. If I'm wrong, correct me. That was not the prayer. They were praying directly at him that he would accept this. And he was actually ill, hemorrhaging, very, very ill. But the Lord quickened him, and in the name of Jesus and the power of his shed blood, that he could throw off those prayers. Well, that was my answer. That's why the Lord took me down there. But there were people that were praying for me, and I had like a band on my head, as though somebody were taking like an iron band and just tightening it. And when I read that, I knew immediately. I prayed the prayer, and it left just like that. Mildred, it left just like that. So I know that's the reason the Lord took me down there. But then he showed me so much the power of the soul that man wants to use and is using many ways, his own way. And the Lord wants us to have our soul brought back, thus restoration of the soul. He restores my soul. But you know that Psalm 23, he leads me beside the still waters. There is a place of rest to come into it, a quietness. And then the restoration of the soul comes forth. And that's what he's bringing forth, as we said this morning. I know there's many thoughts about the marriage of the Lamb, but I often think it must be the marriage of the soul and spirit, bringing back into harmony. And then the body's going to follow after, because it's no longer going to be in conflict. It's not going to have, you know, you're thinking the spirit saying one thing and the soul saying another thing, but it will be all back in harmony. And that's what the Lord is calling us. Back into harmony. But I wanted to just let me find this scripture real quick, please. I was so blessed this afternoon with Mildred, but I always am. She brought forth such a powerful message of understanding of so many things that I never could understand why these things happen. Now I can understand more. I can have much more compassionate love for somebody that they're caught in a trap of not of their own making. And they don't know how to get out of it. And they send forth all these negatives, negatives, negatives. And you know, our Lord says, the word shall not return unto me void. He says this in Isaiah 55. So the word that we speak is not going to return unto us void either. It's going to accomplish that which we say. So if we say negatives, we're going to get negatives back. But if we speak in love, then it will not only, I've been understanding that if we speak in love, the voice vibrations that's in us, now stick with me, will also go through our body and heal our cells in our body as it's going forth to give love and healing to others. See, there is also a restoration of the body. We can not only speak love to others, but it will come back love to us. And you know, Jesus, on that great day of the feast, the eighth day of the tabernacles, he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. And that's what he's calling us to. I have a dear friend, a prayer partner. She said, the Lord showed me the waters are starting to flow. She said, they're awfully muddy looking right now. But they are flowing. That's the wonderful part. But the love of God knows no boundaries. As I said this morning, you know that I pray that Romans 5:5 so often. The Holy Spirit has shed the love of God abroad in your heart. I keep claiming that and claiming it and claiming it. And I say, well, now, Lord, it must be awfully full in there. It's about to burst out. Can it burst out soon and just overflow and swash everything out of me that's not of you and just flood everybody? Because that's what he's calling, because the very light of God is in our heart. I was going to go to one thing, but I think, you know, in that Thessalonian scripture, it says, I'm not going to turn to that because I'm sure you all know it. But God wants us to be holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, our spirit, our soul, and our body. He did not leave out the body. So many people concentrate on the spirit and soul to the disaster of the body. And then the next verse, I love it. It says, and faithful is he who will do it. Isn't that awesome? Because it says in Philippians, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who worketh in us to will and do of his good pleasure. Now, we have a responsibility to cooperate with him. But we cannot say, well, this is the way we should go out of our carnal thinking, but to receive what he says and the way he says for us to go. Lord, praise you. I want to get on to a little bit about what he showed me. As you can obviously see, I've had a battle with my weight. I had given up because I had dieted and then it came back and a little bit more. Then I had dieted and came back and a little bit more. So I said, Lord, I'm not going to do this anymore unless you do it or show me or anoint me for it. I cannot do this again because it causes damage to your body. So, during Christmas, I bought some of these little candies, you know, all these pretty wrapped little chocolates and all those good little goodies. And I had them on the coffee table, and I'd go by and maybe pick up one or two and go by and pick up one or two. By the end of the day, I had no idea of the ones and twos I had had. So when I went to the doctor, my blood pressure was way up. And I thought, now what am I doing that I haven't done before to cause this? Because he wanted to put me on blood pressure medication, and no way did I want to go on blood pressure medication. So I went home, and I started thinking, well, Lord, what am I doing? And then that came to my remembrance. And then the thought came to me, well, you should quit eating sweets. And I said, right before Christmas? And the thought came, what better time? So he gave me the grace. Now, I'm telling you, he gave me the grace to do it. Because I was raised in a family that always had desserts, homemade jellies for their bread, you know. And I was notorious for my desire for sweets. I haven't had any since then. Now, that is pure grace for somebody as bad as I was off. And he is helping me to watch my carbohydrates. And the weight is coming off very slowly. But I'm changing my eating habits. And the thing, he's brought me out of a lot of things, and I cannot say that I'm totally into all of the good things. But we were talking about transition periods, and I'm sort of in there. But I've quit a lot of things. Now, this may hurt some of you, but about 15 years ago, Speed and I were in a restaurant, and because I was a coffee lover. And I saw a man at the next table, and he was putting sugar and cream in his coffee. Now, you know when you hear the Lord, it's the Lord. It's nothing that you think, or it's a different understanding. I'm going to say the Lord told me. Now, I didn't hear a booming voice out here, but you, I think, all know when I say the Lord told me. He said, that is a lethal beverage. Now, lethal is not in my vocabulary. I don't run around saying lethal. But it's a deadly beverage. So I observed that. And I still drank my coffee strong, hot, and black. And, yeah, I know just what you mean. Oh, yeah. But we were still living down in the mountains of Virginia, and one day I heard the Lord said, stop drinking coffee. So I said, okay. And then I went to decaf. And about 2 years later, I heard him say, I thought I told you to quit drinking coffee. I said, oh, okay. And that was the end. So it started a long time ago. He's progressively brought me out of a lot of things. Another thing that he brought me out of, and I know it's something we all love, is soft drinks. But there are 5 or 6, 7 spoons of sugar in every one of them. And you know, NutraSweet, aspartame, is deadly. So a CBN, Pat Robertson's had that on quite a few times. He related about an airline pilot that was grounded because he had lost his, I've forgotten, was it his perception, but something anyway, he was not able. So I'm saying it's very hard to tell somebody these things, but I'm just sharing you what is he's quickening to me. He's bringing me out to bring me in. I am eating, I always love fruits and vegetables, but I am concentrating on getting fruits and vegetables in, cutting down on the meats, definitely cutting down on refined carbohydrates. Now, we are inundated, all of us, with information about nutrition. Now, none of us, we would be living in a cave if we didn't receive all this information about nutrition. And I did receive it, but to say that I walked in it was another thing. But since this time, I got a jolt because they told me in the hospital, it's a miracle it didn't kill you. And I know what my miracle was. But he was giving me a warning that he had told me for years, you know, and I'd say, yes, Lord, and, you know, mañana, you know, procrastination. I did try progressively to do things, as I told you about the coffee, the soft drinks, and that sort of thing. But I wasn't into it wholeheartedly. And I can't say that I'm there yet, but I'm on my way. So this is something that was awfully hard for me to receive, to tell you all, because I don't want to beat anybody. I'm just sharing with you what he has quickened for me when I was in this situation. And then he started to showing me back to that Romans again. With the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has overcome the law of sin and death. And he quickened me that we had concentrated a lot on overcoming sin, you know, and resisting sin and not wanting willfully to sin, because anybody that knows the Lord Jesus no longer wants to willfully sin. You know, you do it, but it's not that you're, that's my thing, I'm going to go out and sin, not anymore. But he started showing me that was a conjunctive phrase, the law of sin and death. So he started quickening me to start to resist death the same way I was resisting sin. That he did not make us to die. When he created us, he didn't create us to die. Amen. And before the foundation of the earth, the Lamb was slain before the foundations of the earth. Now, he knew we'd goof up, but he made a way for us to come back through our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. So, I know that there was, in those days, early days, of when this came forth, the never-die doctrine. You remember that, Glenn? And that was why I was almost afraid to speak about this. I know there are. But my dear sister this morning, and I broke down and cried, but I didn't know whether to give this message or not. And there she stood up, and she said, and death, we are to overcome death. That was the last thing she said. And I said, oh, Father God, you are giving through my dear sister a confirmation you want me to say this. And he wants us to resist death. He did not bring us here to die. There are some that are going to be alive and remain at the coming of the Lord. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. You know, for years I took that as a conjunctive phrase. It was talking about the same thing. But then he separated. No, one is resurrection and one is life. One is going to be sleeping in Jesus and going to be resurrected, but the one is going to be alive and remain. Amen. I took it, you know, as a compound phrase. It's not. But he's calling us to believe him for this and to appropriate what our Lord did for us. I did not, as I said to you earlier, I think several times, I did not realize that I was not receiving nor appropriating it. I knew it, and I thought in the knowing it that I was doing it, but I wasn't. And I'm just now want to say I'm learning how to receive and appropriate what the Lord did for and through his going to the cross. That he said, it is finished. And if it is finished, it's the total restoration of all that he came to do, to bring us back to the Father. That was the whole thing, to bring us back to God. And you know, they were in the garden, And the Lord quickens us. You know, it's, what was it? Paul said, I sowed and Apollo watered. Well, that's a garden terminology. And then Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. And the Father is the husbandman and he's going to prune you. Well, now that's a garden terminology. And now he's looking for fruit. He's looking for the fruit. And he said, and I think it's in James, the husband has made it, waited for many years for the fruit to come forth. And, you know, the gifts and calling of a God are without repentance. But the bearing of the fruit is another thing. And he's looking for the fruit. And he says, when I come, will I find those faithful? When he comes, will he find those bearing the fruit? And he's calling us to really believe him and walk in the fullness of all that he has done for us. I just want to make an emphasis of the fact that we are the temple. We were singing that tonight over and over. I asked to have them think that about we are the sanctuary. You know, we all probably came from a denominational. Maybe we're still in one, or we are part of a congregation or have been. And we would no more dream of going into the quote sanctuary in any way, defacing it or doing anything there that wasn't just right. We wouldn't dream of smoking there or drinking there or many other things. And we are the sanctuary. And he's calling us to recognize that and let him be God in our lives. You know, Jesus said that, it was in 14 John, he said, the Father and I will come and manifest ourselves unto you. And that's what he's calling us to recognize, that he wants us to know who we are in him and to proclaim it, to say it with our mouths. You know that Mark 11, is it 23? He said, well, he saith, and I remembered listening to Kenneth Hager Sr. He said, you know, they said saith is in there three times and belief is only one. And I thought, well, gee, that's significant. The words of our mouth, it comes out of our hearts. So if out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if it's in there, then life will come forth. Out of our mouth comes what we really... You can listen if you're around a person for a while, and you'll know what's in there. But he's calling us to holiness. And I want to read one thing here about in John, that the Lord is showing me so much about the light that is within us. And on John, 1 John, of course, we all know the beginning was the Word was with God. I could quote that. And in him was life, and the light was the light of men. I'm going to read it. We all know it, but I you know the saying, the word? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every man that cometh into the world has that light within him. Now we have, I don't want to put it on anyone else. I thought only we who had received him as Savior had that light in us. But I was reading John the other day in the light of the things that I've been receiving, and I saw there it says it. It was in every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, hallelujah, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. John bare witness to him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is before me. He was before me. And of his fullness, of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Do we really believe that? He wants us to start to believe and walk in it and proclaim it. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. But when I read this after I had that revelation, it really, I can see, it's almost like the book has become a new book to me. I see life everywhere. Where I used to, I'm sorry to say, saw a lot of negatives, I don't see it anymore. And even the judgment is coming on the world. It's to make that which is wrong right.
Amen.
You know, that's what judgment, you go before a court for a judgment, it's to right the wrong. So that's what he's going to do, is doing, I should say. And as I started out to say, I did not truly, his body, this is the body. He said, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, he said those things in John, let me go to that. Verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, that is, if you go by sleep in him. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth this bread shall live forever. And of course, in the beginning was the Word, and was Word was with God. So the Word, we eateth the Word, we meditate on the Word. Our daily bread is the meditation on the Word of God, that it nourishes and strengthens our spiritual body, just as our natural food, our physical body. But he wants them to come into more correlation. Let the natural food be more substantive for our natural body as the spiritual food is for that. But I began to see how much more this all meant to me, because I started to see life everywhere. And then we were talking, of course, about the Feast of Tabernacles this morning, and he was teaching about this when he had gone up. I believe this was just a time. But anyway, at the Feast of Tabernacles, his brother says, why don't you go up there? And he went up in private and quietly and taught. But that was when, I have quite a study here about the Feast of Tabernacles, the way the Orthodox Jews keep it, but I don't feel to go into that. But part of it is, at that time, was when he said, I am the light of the world. And at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, they lit huge lights on the top of two pillars that completely went over the whole city of Jerusalem. But in the context of so many things that he proclaims is in relationship to the feast, and his saying, I am the light of the world. But he's calling us now to holiness and to righteousness. And then, as I said, we talked about our individual bodies and the corporate body. I got this little booklet back here just since I've been here. And it's Power in the Blood of Jesus. And as I said, it's a very strong subject with me right now. But there was something in here that I had never heard ministered, Mildred, and I was felt to share it and see what the Spirit quickens the rest of you, because I was very impressed with this, and it was, as I said, it was not anything I'd never heard before. But he is talking about, of course, the blood, and that Jesus saying, my words are spirit and they are life. So if you eat of his words, they give you spirit and they give you life and the daily bread. But here he's talking about it. This man's name is Frank Marzullo, and I know you know him and have a lot of his works back there. But anyway, it says, one time I was ministering in a Spanish church in Miami, and an 80-year-old woman was going blind, came for prayer. I asked her, do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? She said, yes, I do. Then I asked, do you believe that the blood of Jesus flows through the body of Christ? Yes, she answered, I do. Again, I asked her, are you a part of the body of Christ? She said, yes, I am. Then I'm going to ask our Lord Jesus to allow his blood to flow through your system and to mingle with your blood and wash your eyes out of all infection, weakness, blindness in the name of Jesus. I had never heard that before at all. After I prayed for her, I asked her if she could see the cross that was at the back of the church and the lettering under it. The cross was about 18 inches high, and she said she could not see it nor read the lettering. So I told her to walk up the aisle until she could see the cross and stop there. She did, and told me that she could just barely see the cross, but could not see the lettering under it. Then I said to her, "Sister, stay right where you are until you can see the cross in the letter perfectly, until Jesus washes your eyes with his blood." She obeyed me, and I went back to minister to the others who were waiting for prayer. In about 5 minutes, she turned around and ran to me, put her arms about me, and cried out, "You healed me. I can see. I can see." "No," I said to her, "I did not heal you. It was the appropriation of the precious blood of Jesus and your obedience and faith that healed you. What happened here?" She believed and obeyed the man of God. She applied the blood of Jesus, the precious blood that flows even now through his body, through us, the saints of God. His blood and her faith healed her. You see, family, she believed that Jesus shed his blood for her, and she stayed in that one spot waiting for that precious blood to do exactly what I said it would. God heard the spoken word of faith, and creation took place, new eyes. When I read that, it just was a whole new dimension of thought that I had never thought or heard anyone even say before. But I know that Glenn and Irma have a lot of their works, this man's works back there. But I was very, very blessed with that when I read that. I thought, "You mean really, Lord Jesus, that we can believe that his very blood can mix with our blood and bring forth that true life within us?" To me, that was very awesome. Very, very awesome. I feel the presence of the Lord with us. I want to thank him for his grace and his mercy, for allowing us to come together. As Linda said tonight, this is a special time. This one group of his body will probably never, every one of us, assemble again together. So we can just praise him and thank him for all he is in and through us, for all he has done, that his finished work. But let's appropriate it. Let's believe him for it, and let's resist death. Resist death in all of its many attributes. No longer say, "Well, with my age, I could very well say it." Well, you're just 77 years old. What do you expect? You know, that's the old man would say that. I'm not going to say that anymore. I expect life and that more abundantly. I resist death. I proclaim by faith and grace in the Word that I'm going to be alive and remain to his coming. Our background is Episcopalian. The first, after I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Episcopalians have a prayer book, and it's 95% scripture. So the next day, after I received the baptism, I went to church, and it was like it was written overnight. There it was. The Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus, everything's right in there. And I never saw it before. I read the words, but they weren't life to me. You know? But they were life. Like, I thought, my goodness, this must have just happened. Well, it did, but to me. But anyway, that first year, of course, Lent is just coming up now. And that first year, of course, the Roman Catholic Church and the Episcopal Church, and I don't know, perhaps the Orthodox, I'm not sure of this, have the imposition of ashes on Ash Wednesday. Well, Speed was senior warden, and we went there, and I sat there, and I said, "I'm not going to have that curse put on me. To death thou shalt, and to death thou shalt come," or I've forgotten exactly the words. I said, "I'm not going to have them put that on me." And so Speed said, "Well," we knew our vicar very well, he was a neighbor, and he said, "Well, we're not going to come, David, for that." He said, "We're not going to have death imparted to us. Oh, dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return." That's it. That's right. I remember now. So that was sort of the beginning for us in resisting death right there and then. I said, "I'm not going to have that curse put on me." And they don't mean it that way. They mean it as life. They mean it as preparation for Jesus. You know, It's the 40 days of Lent and fasting, and I believe, about fasting. But the other day, I was praying, and I said, Lord, show me what I should read. And he gave me the 58th chapter of Isaiah. And that fast is altogether different from what we generally think of fasting. But see, that's all he said. If you do this, then your light shall shine. You'll break forth. Let me just take one more minute here. And just because that was such a blessing, I saw it. Oh, everything is life. Everything is life. But here he says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and shine, thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, that is the yoke of bondage. And putting forth of the finger, and lying and speaking vanity. If thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, there goes back to the anointing of Jesus, that we read first in Luke and in Isaiah. If thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul again in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden. There's the garden again. And like a spring of water whose waters fail not, the waters flowing out. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. That's what he's calling to. See, if we're in the seventh day, we're in his Sabbath rest. And he's calling us to do definitely what he would have us done, have done on this day. And that's why in John, I think it's so significant in other places where Jesus did all these things on the Sabbath. Because it's things that's going to be done now. And Jesus says, greater things than these shall you do because I go to my Father. The repair of the breach, then it goes, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy of the Lord honorable, and thou shalt honor him doing, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So we say, Amen, Lord. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, and fill us to the full. And so many people have said that they're expecting the manifestation of the literal Lord Jesus coming back with the clouds. I don't know, but I feel that the next will be the manifestation of the sons of God, the enchristing Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because it says they will, and the whole creation is groaning to bring back into order those things that went into disorder with the fall of Adam. And he was the last man, last Adam and the second man. Our Lord Jesus, it says, he was the last Adam and the second man. So there is a whole new creation out there for us to walk in and dwell in. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.